May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Does everybody have a copy of this sheet of photographs that you can see? Can you put your hand up if you haven't got one? Could the choir and this lady here please have a copy of these photographs? Put your hand up if you haven't got one. The choir and also over here. And several in the middle. These ones. These ones with the four photographs. You've run out. Okay. Can everybody share and see one? If you've got one each, could you pass one to somebody who needs one? Thank you. No, just these ones. Thank you. Thank you very much. Come to those in a moment. Many of you know quite a lot about Saksha already, so please forgive me if what I say is familiar. And thank you for allowing me to speak about the work of this little charity this morning, which I've been involved in since 2003, just a year after it began in a dusty corner of southwest Delhi. The word Saksha means literate, able to read, and it's a project run by a little NGO, non-government organisation, called the Vigyan Vijay Foundation, or VVF, which sounds very grand, but is actually a tiny organisation. Vigyan Vijay Foundation means victory to Vijay, and Vijay was her husband, and she founded this organisation in order to honour his memory, because he cared so much about the lives of those who were poor and vulnerable. Asha Kumar, who founded it, actually comes from a line of Gandhian workers. Her grandfather was a noted Gandhian, and there's actually a postage stamp in India with his picture on commemorating his work, and so she's followed in his tradition. The charity which she founded began with the aim of getting children from a little slum community, Nasirpur, which is home to about 2,000 people. It's a small, tiny little slum, really. And it occupies an area about the size of this church site. That will give you an idea of just how compressed it is. But there are 2,000 people living there. The aim is particularly to get the children to school, and especially girls, because in India it's more likely that girls won't be educated than boys. If there is anybody who's sent to school at all, it's going to be a boy. And so although boys and girls come to Saksha, it's girls in particular whose education we are particularly concerned about. When the charity began in 2002, only about a quarter of the children in this slum went to school. And after a few years of work, and until now, the proportion is about 75%. It's never quite 100% because there are always new families coming into the slum from the villages with children who haven't been to school who affect that number. 15 years on, after its foundation, Saksha has four schoolrooms, rented little schoolrooms, each the size perhaps of somebody's a large bedroom or a small living room. And it works in four places, one slum community called Nasirpur, and three slum resettlement colonies. It has 10 teachers, it has a couple of support staff, and it has an increasingly beaten-up little minibus, which is valuable for getting along the narrow lanes. It's been a hugely successful project, and it's delivered invaluable change in the quality of life and opportunity for the children and the families that it serves at remarkably little cost. And I feel deeply honoured to have been part of that, and I thank you for being part of it too, whether you are individual supporters or supporting through the church here. In 2009, with Rachel's encouragement and the help of an accountant and a lawyer, I registered Saksha School Appeal as a British charity. And we dedicated ourselves here then to raising the money that Saksha needed. At that point it was about £6,000 a year, and now the costs have risen. Inflation in India is about 10%, and it's about £22,000 a year that we're raising and sending to pay for their work. Each of the schoolrooms has 30 children, You can imagine how small the children are. You can get 30 children and two teachers into a very small space like that. The children come for a year of preschool lessons. They're mostly five or six, though some are older if they've come from the villages. And at the end of that year of preschool lessons, they're mainstreamed into local government schools, which are, of course, free, although of a rather indeterminate quality. A few years ago, when we got to four schools, we decided that we wouldn't increase the number and keep on expanding because we wanted to keep a very tight grip on what goes on the way money is spent, and on the commitment of the people involved. And so we decided to increase the depth of what we do in the four communities which we serve. And now older children come to each of those schools for remedial help in the afternoon. Teenagers come for extra English lessons or computing lessons. Adults come for literacy help, so the parents, the illiterate parents of the children, come themselves to learn how to read and write as well. And we provide vocational support and advice to the older children, and now even sponsorship to some of the older ones as they've completed their studies at the age of 17 or 18 and need vocational training. And these are children who we've known really since they were young and very, very little. Two of our children are being sponsored this year as trainee teachers in professional courses. One is being sponsored by a family here in Belgravia to do that. It doesn't cost very much, as you can imagine, to do that. It's not like our training fees here. It's the depth of commitment which has made the communities so thrilled with the presence of Saksha where they work, because our teachers, many of whom are from, or most of whom are from, the same sorts of social backgrounds as the children themselves, are out there in the community visiting people in their homes, persuading parents to send their children to school, allowing girls to go on studying and trying to prevent parents from sending them to be married early in the villages so that their children can survive and get through to the end of their schooling. They bring reassurance to parents through the many difficulties that they face, hardship, illness, accident, and so on, the myriad problems that people in a slum have to contend with. India's underclass of slum dwellers and day labourers and the rural poor, which is some 250 million people, have an identity which I think is hard to grasp here from our modern Western vantage point, where justice and equality, the values of the gospel, have penetrated deep into our cultural psyche, even if they're not worked out always in practice. In India, the injustice and inequality is visceral, and those at the bottom of the caste hierarchy have a history of being treated as less than human, which goes back thousands of years. And this has created a profound sense of worthlessness and lowliness among those people. And it's perpetuated particularly through ignorance and illiteracy, which has managed to reinforce age-old patterns of abuse and disadvantage for these people. Jesus came as a poor man to love even the unloved, those treated wrongly by others. And I think an essential part of the love of Christ for the lowly and the lost today, and for the work of the gospel, is helping everyone at least to read and write and to complete their basic education so that they have even the most basic opportunity to obtain a share in the blessing that God has for us all. As you can see, the project is very close to my heart, and without it, I don't think my faith would make any sense to me anymore. In a world where it's hard to trust that much of what we give to charity actually goes to where we want it to, I know that the administration costs for Saksha are almost nothing, and what we send pays for room rental, teachers' salaries, and midday meals. Each year I visit them under my own steam, and none of our trustees here receive any payment or expenses. And we know that the motivations of all those involved in India, Asha, who founded Saksha, Pritia, who's their coordinator, and each of the teachers are all absolutely those of dedication. Last night at the ordination service for priests in Stepney, that's priests from this central London area and the Stepney area of the diocese, I referred to the sense of the presence of God in the poor and the marginal, which I first read about in the Sermon on the Mount and which so struck me when I was a teenager. Then I read about it, the same commitment and the same understanding of God's presence in the poor in Tolstoy, and then in Gandhi, and then in Gandhi's contemporary, the poet Rabindranath Tagore. Tagore wrote about finding the presence of God among the poor and said, "Here is thy footstool, and there rest thy feet, where live the poorest and the lowliest and the lost." This week, in the horrific fire at Grenfell Tower, in the reflection over what went wrong, and in our thinking about how the community has responded, both positively and in anger, we see again the truth of these words. We see Christ among the lost, we see Christ among the broken, we see Christ in acts of love and of service, and we see Christ demanding a better life for those who are most vulnerable. As Jesus said, "What you did for the least of these, you did for me." So today I'd like to share a little bit about Saksha's work through the words of three of its teachers and two of its students, because the things that the people who are part of this project say are probably more interesting and insightful than anything I can share with you. And so on the pages that I've circulated with these pictures, there are some photographs of teachers and students who I want to quote to you. This year I asked if they would say something about their experience of Saksha, and these are the words that they've sent me to share with you. On the first page is a teacher called Ghazala. This is Ghazala. The first picture shows her with her hands up as she's teaching her students. Ghazala is our only Muslim teacher. She works in a school where there is quite a high proportion of Muslim children, probably 50-50 Muslim and Hindu. They celebrate Muslim festivals and Hindu festivals, and they celebrate Christmas and Easter as well. They even make models of snowmen, which is quite incongruous in 40 degrees of heat. Not at Christmas, but the snowmen are usually hanging around when I get there in the spring. Ghazala is one of 12 children, and her father works in a brick factory. The brick factory is a two-hour bus ride away, and so he leaves very early in the morning. He sleeps on the bus. He works 12-hour shifts in the brick factory and then comes home. She's very inspired by her father. He's taught her to kickbox, and she says that, "I'm confident I can defend myself." She's only little. She's about this big, with big eyes. And she says, "I can kickbox anybody who tries anything difficult with me or my neighbours. I will protect them." The life of girls and women in Delhi is dangerous, and her father has given her the resources to protect herself. And she said, "I won't get married myself. I refuse to get married until all my brothers and sisters, my younger brothers and sisters, have been through school and have finished 12th class, which is at 18 when they take the equivalent of A-levels. And she's very enthusiastic. She writes poetry in Urdu and sings very beautifully as well. And she says this: "I have always had a great affection and love for children. I love to spend time with them. While I teach, I in turn learn from them. I am so engrossed with children that I forget all my personal worries and tensions. I got associated with Saksha because of them. I have realized that I have not only connected with these children of Saksha, but with their families and the Mangalapuri community at large. This bonding has made it possible for me to sensitize the community on aspects of education, dowry, domestic violence, etc., which are the common malaise of the underprivileged community. The most difficult situations should be solved with wisdom. I have learnt over the years that people who try to overcome their difficulties with determination never lose. With the help of VVF and Saksha, I am able to offer guidance to help them deal with their problems. It is important to convince these community people that they can overcome their problems with the right information and approach instead of violence, and that the solution to any problem is in unity of the community. Education is the key enabler to a better life. I hope that we will be successful in encouraging the community to improve their quality of life by educating their children. I joined Saksha on the 8th of March 2013 and have been so happily engaged that I did not realise how 4 years have gone by. I hope to do a lot more for these community children and their families through Saksha." Ghazala lives in the slum resettlement colony where her children come from, and all our teachers there earn £60 a month, and that's their full-time salary. The second page has pictures of Bhavana. Bhavana is our latest addition to our teaching staff in white here. Bhavana comes from a slightly better-to-do community, better-educated community than the children here, and her family had considerable doubts about whether she should be allowed to go to Sakshawan and Nasirpur slum. They wanted her to go to one of the resettlement colony schoolrooms, but she's working in the slum itself and is really enjoying it. And she says, she's a commerce graduate from Delhi University, and she also has a diploma in nursery teaching. She says, "I am a teacher at Saksha 1, Nasirpur. Initially, I came to Saksha for 1 month's internship as part of my teacher training program. After completing my training, I was offered to teach in Saksha, which I gladly accepted because I knew this experience would enrich my life. In the beginning, I was really nervous to be interacting with the people of the Nasirpur community, and I know that this is just a beginning, and I have a long way to go, but it gives me immense satisfaction to be part of such a noble cause. I'm learning to deal with parents, listen to their problems, and try to help them wherever possible. I'm trying to understand the students, their parents, and the work culture. The major issue is that where these children are coming from, they don't get much support regarding school, life, and so on from their parents. Parents don't see the value of education, and it's very hard to convince them. There is so much we can do for the children, and I hope that one day I am able to motivate and strengthen the base of the weakest kids at Saksha 1. The way Saksha is doing this work is very commendable. I am very thankful to VVF and Saksha for giving me this opportunity of becoming part of this wonderful organisation." Third of the pictures, third page, is of a teacher called Rachna. Rachna is a Hindu, and she's team taught with Ghazala for some of her time, and they really cooperate very, very well. It's great to see them working as a team. Rachna is perhaps the most educated of our teachers. She has a master's degree in history from Indira Gandhi National Open University in Delhi. All the people from these communities, they do degrees by correspondence. They can't ever afford to be full-time students, and so they do correspondence degrees. But Rachna is very well educated, and she has also a diploma in nursery teaching and a diploma in art and craft. The bottom two pictures here show her own home. We had the chance of visiting her home a couple of years ago, and we went there to meet her mother and her sister, who she lives with. The room with the pink walls at the bottom there is their whole home. That is the one room where they live. It's on the roof of another building, and I was really quite disturbed when I saw just how poor they are. Her mother has been ill for a few years, and everything that you can see there is pretty much what they own. Their cooker is those two little gas rings, and the implements on the wall, that's their kitchen. Rachna says, "I love spending time with children. My Saksha Centre has children from all levels of the resettlement community of Mangalapuri. I feel happy to be able to teach them and can help them in learning. I try my best to offer all the help that I can possibly give to these children during the daily classes from 9 until 1 at the Saksha Centre. I also offer remedial classes to students of the government schools with Saksha's help. Parents of these children are very cooperative, and they celebrate all the festivals with us. The Saksha Centre conducts bi-monthly parent-teacher meetings, which helps building a parent-teacher bond, such as to discuss various problems and issues and solve them together. Parents are very happy to be contributing in problem-solving. I have learnt a lot during my 5 years of association with Saksha, and I would like to continue working here. Saksha centres are often visited by guests, including donors and volunteers. All of them are fully appreciative and praise our efforts and contribution towards the community development, starting from education. Reverend Ralph is our donor who visits us annually without fail and always brings love and gifts. He always is very excited and happy to meet our students. His excitement gives us confidence and encouragement to do more and more, makes us proud of our association with Saksha. Despite being a citizen of UK, he is concerned about such underprivileged children and offers all possible help. The next sheet of pictures is of one of the students, Priya. I've only heard about Priya's story this year, but she is cousin to the girl next to her in white at the top right there. Mona in white is deaf and her mother has been our cleaner and cook at Saksha One, and Priya is her cousin who recently moved into the slum after the death of her father. This is what she says. My name is Priya. I study in class 10. I'm 15 years old. I lost my father last year to a mishap. I live in a small underprivileged community in Nasirpur with my mother, an elderly brother and a younger sister. My mother works very hard as domestic help to eke out money for our family and educate us all to become good human beings. I do not like my mother working as a domestic help. I therefore want to complete my education and dream to either become a policewoman or a sports teacher to make my mother proud and give her all comforts in life. Many men of the community are wasting time playing cards and are not in the least concerned about their children picking up the same habits. I do not like this and hope that someday I will become a police officer and stop such activities in the community. Go for it. The last sheet of pictures is of a girl called Kajol. These were taken a few years ago. She's still there, and I did take pictures of her this year, but she was in the corner of the shot most of the time, and these show where she lives. The top left-hand picture is of her outside her home. Top right-hand, she's on an art community art day, which the council organised, and in the bottom left-hand corner, she's in the Saksha One classroom in a remedial lesson. She's now 13. My name is Kajal. My father, Mr. Chain Powell, is a vegetable seller. My mother, Mrs. Mumta, is a homemaker. I study in ninth class of the government co-ed secondary school. I have a younger sister and two younger brothers. It's my dream to be a good and honest teacher. I want to be a teacher to help those students who want to study but cannot pursue it. I want to help them in improving their quality of life so that they can move forward. I will work with full passion and hard work to achieve my dream. I also have some problems in my life as well. My family lives in a small room, and we are six people living in it. It's difficult to focus on studies in such a small space. In our community, most of the parents are not allowing their children to study, especially girls, and as a result, their dreams are shattered. They make girls do household work and take care of their younger siblings. I still consider myself lucky, as I am able to go to school, and one day, with hard work and dedication, will fulfil my dream. It is my request to all parents to please let your children study and help them in giving wings to their thoughts so that they can fly. What does Saksha need? Saksha certainly needs more regular donors, and if you're able to help us, I'd be very pleased to hear from you. In the next year, we might also start a capital project to try and buy a piece of land and build a building next to the slum so that we can use that as a base, as it's becoming more and more difficult to find rooms to rent and they're rising a lot in cost. So if you know any major capital donors, please do direct them to me. And lastly, and most importantly, we're very keen to have supporters and people who will advocate for this work and might even become trustees here in London to help support us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.